Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the GE T&D India Limited fourth quarter ended 31st March 2022 for the financial year 2021-22 conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sunil Mishra, Head of Investor Relations, GE T&D India Limited. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mikey. Good day to all of you. Welcome to today's conference call with the GE T&D India Limited management team. This conference call has been organized to present and discuss audited financial results for the fourth quarter and the financial year ended on 31st March 2022. Now, let me first introduce my management team available on this call. We have with us Mr. Pitambar Shivnani, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer. We have with us Mr. Sushil Kumar, CFO cum whole-time director. We have with us Mr. Sandeep Janjaria, who is our commercial leader. We have with us Mr. Maria Sundaram Antony, who is the projects business leader. We have Mr. Manoj Prasad Singh, who is the company secretary. And we have with us Mr. Anshul Madan, who is our communication leader. Please note that this conference call is scheduled up to 5:30 p.m. I hope you would have received the analyst presentation and the same has been uploaded on our website. I hope you have also read the disclaimer as per slide number 2. I would now request Mr. Pitambar Shivnani to begin this conference call highlighting key events of the quarter and the year. Thereafter, Mr. Maria updating us on operations. Then Mr. Sandeep Janjaria will take us through the order book and the T&D grid market. Lastly, Mr. Sushil Kumar will present the financials. I now invite Mr. Shivnani to begin the conference with his opening words. So over to Mr. Shivnani.
Thank you, Sunil. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Thanks to everyone for joining us today. We hope you and your families are healthy and safe. 2021 wasn't an easy year for us, majorly because of two reasons. First, the continued impact of COVID-19, and second, its contribution to supply chain disruption and commodity inflation. Just when we thought the pandemic was behind us, the second wave of COVID hit us hard in 2021. However, even during those turbulent times, our teams kept on delivering, and for that, I would like to thank our employees who have been tirelessly delivering for our customers and have been supporting them through their greatest challenges. I continue to be grateful to their extraordinary commitments. Before we share the company's update with you, I would like to take this opportunity to welcome Johan Bindle, who has been appointed as a director to the board of GE T&D Limited with effect from 1st of June 2022. He has filled the casual vacancy caused due to resignation of Rajendra Raiyer. Johan has more than 25 years of experience in energy industry, which includes leading large projects in India, Nepal, Sudan, Switzerland, and the US. In his current role at GE, Johan leads grid integration and AC system teams at GE's Grid Solution and manages a global team of 2,000 employees spread across over 50 countries. Coming back to the company's update during the year, we contributed to demonstrate our operational excellence by commissioning 21 AIS and GIS substation, strengthening the nation transmission network and adding new capacity into the grid. This includes commissioning of 765 kV gas insulated substation for PGCIL at Phagi in Rajasthan. This project is a major milestone for the company given the complexities related to terrain and weather involved. We have Maria, our ACS leader, with us today. He will share further project updates with you. After the slow start to the financial year 21-22, when the opportunities started to unfold in the market, the competition got brutally intensified, pushing many companies to pick orders on a low margin. However, we continued to stay selective in order booking and kept our focus on long-term profitability. On financial front, our overall performance was primarily impacted due to steep increase in commodity prices. But we stayed focused on cash and reduced borrowings. Sandeep and Sushil will cover the orders and financial in detail shortly. Lean continues to drive culture change in the company. We are continuously working to reduce our costs wherever possible. Our teams are acting with humility and leading with transparency and delivering with focus at every turn and are doing their best to deliver favorable results. GTND continues to play a critical role in solving for the challenges related to affordable, reliable and sustainable energy to meet India's energy increasing demand, which is expected to double over the next 20 years and support customers in achieving their net zero emission. This includes breakthrough automation technologies as well as equipment and software that builds a more efficient and resilient grid. As a leader in innovation of modern grid solutions, we will continue to work closely with government and our customers to implement solutions that will help India accelerate in its energy transition journey. This week, we are participating in Distribulec 2022 organized by IEMA in Bangalore from 25th to 27th May. You can follow the updates on the companies as well as IEMA's social media handles. As of March 2022, and we have an order backlog of over 27.2 billion. With that, I will request Maria to provide further insight on the operations during the quarter. Over to you, Maria.
Thank you. Thank you, Pitambar. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is my pleasure to really walk you through the operations in terms of the commissioning which we did during the quarter. And we continue to make strides in terms of delivering on the evacuation infrastructure, which is critical for our customers. And I will like to walk you through some of the major critical commissioning which we did during the quarter. And I will kind of walk you through the different across the different regions within the country as well as within the South Asia region. So talking about North region, I think we commissioned HPPTC, Arunachal Pradesh, Hatkoti, I think, which was commissioning of our 220 kV GIS base in Hatkoti. We have had significant engagement with HPPTCL, and this is definitely one of the continued progress in that area. Second, I would say on the north, another region, which was HMEL Bathinda. I think HMEL Bathinda, we commissioned the 400 kV 12 GIS base along with the transformers. This is also another important, I think, reference milestone for us in terms of delivering for our oil and gas customers in the region. And then we also on the north, additionally, we also commissioned the Adani Mohindergarh substation in Haryana, where we actually did the commissioning of the Danoda Line 1 GIS Bay and Line 2 AIS Bay for 400 kV series reactor. This is an important technology, and definitely GE is very proud to be playing an important role in this technology for our substations in the country. With respect to the region east, I think east region, we commissioned three substations in the east, WBCTCL, West Bengal, Man Bazar, where we did the full commissioning of the 132 kV 6 GIS bays and 33 kV 15 GIS bays along with transformers. We also commissioned in Orissa, Hirakud, substation commissioning where we commissioned 132 kV GIS bays and 33 kV GIS bays along with transformers. And then definitely our continued progress in Bhutan continues to be there. We actually commissioned the BPC Samcholing phase one charging of our transformers along with the distribution panels. So definitely we continue to make progress in Bhutan with respect to our execution there. Specifically on West region, we had one major substation, GETCO, for our customers in Gujarat, GETCO Shapur. Very big substation where we commissioned our 400 kV 12 bays of GIS and 220 kV 15 GIS bays. And then on the south, we had done the Tuticorin for Power Grid Corporation Limited Tuticorin substation, commissioning of the Tuticorin substation where we had 400 kV 2 bays as well as 220 kV 2 GIS bays extension. So we continue to make progress, I think, in terms of delivering on the energy transition for the region by setting up the critical evacuation infrastructure for our customers. And it was definitely a busy quarter for us in that respect. With that, I hand it over to Sandeep to walk through the order journey for GET and D India Limited. Over to you, Sandeep.
Thanks, Maria. And if you look at the order book side, it was comparatively a muted quarter, and the overall year was down by about 5% as compared to 2021. The TBCB opportunities which were there has kind of very few got materialized during the quarter, and we have been able to take one of them. But otherwise, the pipeline has primarily getting shifted, and we expect now the next year to be a very heavy TBCB year. So the market looks to be much better, but if you really look at last year, the lower market comparatively and the price pressures and cost challenges, as Pitambar has said, that we decided to go for selective orders only. So the quarter, we were down by about 10% quarter to quarter, and for the year, we were down by about 5%. The major achievements were from Renew. They have won two TBCB projects, so this is the second project which we have taken from them for constructing the Gadag substation. And of course, on GIS side, strengthening our position in Gujarat, we have taken the 400 kV and three substations of 245 kV from SMS. So that's strengthening our position in terms of installed base in Gujarat. Then from KPTCL, we took the automation package of LBB relays across the various substations to supply and retrofitting the automation in the existing substations. ADMS control centers, so Tata, as you know, that have acquired the Odisha DISCOM, and now they are going for modernization. So the ADMS control center for the Odisha DISCOM has been won by GET&D India. And the RTO and telecom equipment packages for Manipur has also been won by us. And apart from that, we have won multiple export orders to the tune of 125 crores or 1241 MINR. So I now hand over to Sushil for the financial updates.
Thanks, Adish. Moving to financials on page 6 of the presentation. Our results for the quarter are quite subdued, so the year and the quarter were quite challenging. In terms of revenue, we did about 662 crore of revenue compared to 904 crore in the last year same quarter. This was mainly due to the phasing of the projects and lower backlog in hand. Similarly, on a 12-month basis, we did a revenue of 3,066 crore, which was 11% lower than 3,452 crores that we had in the last year. In terms of profit before tax and exceptional item, the quarter number was a loss of 145 crore compared to a profit of 49 crore in the last year. And on an annual basis, we had 180 crore of loss before exceptional item compared to 85 crore of gain in the corresponding last year. Including the exceptional item, we had a loss of 35 crore compared to a profit of 27 crore in the quarter four, whereas for the full year basis, we had a loss of about 70 crore compared to 89 crore of profit in the last year. During the year, we have further consolidated and improved our financial liquidity. We generated about 80 crore of net cash, which helped us in the reduction of net debt by 80 crore. So end of the year, 2022, sorry, we had a net debt of about 81 crore. Moving to page 7 of the presentation, this is a detail about the split of orders and revenue and backlog, as now we have started presenting in every quarterly update. So during the quarter, we booked about 550 crore of orders, of which 124 crore of orders from the export market and about 425 crore of orders from the domestic market. Whereas on a financial year basis, we booked about 2,166 crore of orders, of which 700 crore were export orders, representing 32%, and balance 68% of orders were from domestic market. On the revenue front, on a quarter, we had 663 crore of revenue, of which 32% was from export and 68% of the revenue from the domestic market. Similarly, on a full year financial basis, the export revenue came at around 27%, that is 819 crore, and rest 73% of the 3,066 crore of revenue was from the domestic market. End of the financial year, we have a backlog of 37 billion INR, of which 61% is from the private segment customers. About 18% of the backlog, representing 661 crore, is from the central utilities and public sector undertaking, and the balance, about 21%, is from the state utilities. So with these financial updates, we will now open up for the questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Bhavin Vithlani from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on the gross margins, wherein we saw an all-time low of about 14% raw material to sales increased to 86%. Like we highlighted in the third quarter, there was some one-off provisions which we took in terms of loss orders of 7% of revenues. Was there something of similar sort in this quarter because of the increase in the commodity prices?
Yes, Bhavin. Unfortunately, the commodity prices moved further up during the quarter. And this quarter, also we have two significant items in the gross margin, which basically brought the gross margin to a low level of 14%. The first one being the commodity price increase. Overall, we had about 34-35 crore of further commodity price impact. And the second being, during the quarter, for one of the contracts, we had reasserted the cost to complete due to the change in the technical and other requirements of the project. And that had about 55 crore of impact in the P&L for the quarter. So these are the two major exceptional, or maybe you can say a significant charge for the quarter that we had. On the commodity prices, last couple of days, there have been announcements by the government, the one being on the GST, the second being the export of the commodities. So we hope that with these, the commodity prices will either stabilize or will soften up in the subsequent quarter.
Sure. So had these impact not been there, what would have been our gross margins in the quarter?
So these two items that I mentioned are about 90 crore, roughly 90 crore. And there may be another, let's say, 15, 20 crore of other impact on various projects. So we had about more than 100 crore of impact during the quarter on various projects. Mainly these two reasons, and few other reasons. If these 100 crore, let's say broadly I take on a revenue of 662 crore, this represents 15% as a hit on the gross margin. So excluding these items or these charges during the quarter, our gross profit would have been in the range of 29 to 30%.
Sure. So could we expect that this trend of 29 to 30% would then commence from the next quarter onwards, assuming commodity prices remain as is where is today?
Yeah. So as we have been communicating in all the previous call and today also, generally when we take an order, and somebody talked about selectivity, we are not very aggressive in taking orders at any terms and condition, because over the last couple of years we have seen these terms and condition not being favorable to the supplier or to our company, impacting the profitability significantly. So we have been selective, and while remaining selective, we target about 29-30% as a gross margin. Maybe I'll take a higher range of 27-30% as a gross margin at the time of booking the order. Now, if the commodity prices remain same and the other challenges in one of a couple of projects that I talked about, they do not happen, or let's say broadly the margin variations do not happen because of unforeseen circumstances, the orders that we take, we aim at delivering at 27-30% margin range.
The other question is on the outlook for the orders. Now, this is the second year in a row where our order flows have actually been lower. And in the opening remarks, Sandeep mentioned about this year could be a better year in terms of bunching up of orders for TBCB. If you could just give us what is it that you see in fiscal year 23 in terms of the total market opportunity, and what was the total market opportunity in fiscal 22? Because previous year you mentioned it was about 16,000 crores. So what was the total market opportunity in 22, and what do you expect it to be in 23? And there were a couple of large HVDC orders also anticipated in our earlier communications. So where are these projects currently?
So Bhavin, first of all, as respect to the market conditions, we expect at least as compared to 22-23 should be at least, if I'm maybe about 15%, the market would be more. And this is our assumption because of looking into the list of TBCB pipeline. Today, for example, Khavda, which has emerged as one of the hotbed of renewable projects, so there in TBCB, you have multiple projects, and apart from not only the on transmission side, even the developers who are going to put the projects there, whether it is GICPL or the GSEC or Adani or NTPC, these customers also would be coming out with the evacuation substations of their renewable plant. And being looking into the large capacity of the plant, the evacuation substations will also require 400 kV evacuation, and the if you really look at the conditions, environmental conditions, everything is going to come in the form of GIS. There will be no AIS. And this year we would also we are also expecting shortly the resolution of the GIB issues also. So the TBCB pipeline, which is already in place for Rajasthan projects, would also start undergoing through the reverse auction, and then will also be available for the developer and accordingly the EPC players and the manufacturers as well. Also for the HVDC project, the final bidding for the Mumbai project has happened. The final bids have been submitted. The results have not yet been declared because it is still under final evaluation. And the government, as you know, is already, there's an engagement by Power Grid for the Leh-Ladakh project with the various bidders of HVDC. But Leh-Ladakh is not going to be like 22-23, but it will be more like 23-24 project, because normally a project of that size would take, after the tender will take minimum 8 to 9 months for it to get decided. So I think for this year, Adani, the Mumbai HVDC is going to be a project, and for the next year, we expect Leh-Ladakh to be there.
Sure. So, and what was the total market ordering pie in fiscal year 22? In 21, you mentioned it was roughly 16,000 crores, or maybe you can correct the numbers if I'm mistaken.
So it was 16,000 crores only, and for example, when we really look at 21, 22, we are looking at a pipeline of close to about 18,000 crores or similar to that.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you so much for taking my questions. I'll come back in the queue for follow-up.
Thank you, Bhavan.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rahul Modi from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just a couple of questions. Just taking cues from the ordering in the green energy corridor. So what is the opportunity like under the RDSS scheme? Because recently, we believe around 6 to 7 states have signed up for this scheme. So if you can throw some light on that. The second question was more on the within our order book. So how much are the older contracts which need to be realigned in terms of the cost increases and if most are done already? Thank you.
So I'll answer the second question first.
Yes.
Request Sandeep to take on the question on the order booking. As a part of our accounting policies, all the costs up to the date of close of the quarter are considered as per the accounting guidelines. So, which means that the commodity price increase or any such technical requirement or other cost to complete requirement of any contract as known and visible up to the date of 31st of March have been accounted already. What we do not know and can impact is any further risk and opportunities that come our way, which may be dependent on internal and most external factors. However, as I said in the earlier question to Bhavin, given that government is taking various actions to control inflation, to control the significant impact of the commodity prices on various sectors of the economy, which was represented by the positive move in terms of interest rate, GST, and other export-related restrictions. We hope that now the prices should stabilize, and hopefully there should not be such a significant impact in the future quarters. However, that is so our expectation and anticipation, but given that there is a lot of geopolitical and other uncertainties in the last couple of years, which were beyond the imagination of any organization. If any uncertainty or any such thing comes in future, that can impact the backlog. But as of now, 31st of March, all the known charges have been taken as per the accounting policy and guidance.
That's certainly
for the next question.
So, Rahul, I think you're talking about RDSS scheme. So, yes, we know that 6-7 states have signed up. But our expectation is that in this year, which is 22-23, probably we expect a decision making by 2 or maximum 3 states, because, you know, the process of identifying the opportunity, then making the DPR, making the specifications floating, and then finalizing. So normally, when you start a, process, so once, for example, 2-3 orders will get finalized, then the process of specification formation, etc., will get more streamlined. So the initial pain to come out with a tender and assessment and placing the orders is higher. So we expect about 2-3 orders to be placed under RSS scheme for the year, and that will also be to the later part of the year. And we expect a pipeline somewhere, decision making pipeline somewhere between 300 to 500 crores for the RDSS part.
Sure, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. We have the next question from the line of Sujit Jain from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
So you've explained the lower gross margins, but what explains the jump in other expenses from 107 crores in the base quarter, that is YOY, versus 161 in the March 22 quarter?
Yeah, so the other expenses also had a few one-time provisions, a few one-off items. I'll cover them now. So the first big one was about 180 million of change in the, let's say, increase in the VAT reserve that we created for the old litigations. The second item which had a charge in this year was, or in this quarter was rather, 75 million of penalty paid to one of our landlords for early termination of lease. So this is in line with our objective to reduce the future cost, where we are trying to reduce the office space. The third big item is the bed debt provision of about 140 million during the quarter, mainly on account of ECL charge, expected credit loss, and few other specific provisions. The fourth item is actually reclass, meaning as of the end of the year, about 150 million of forex gain broadly has been reclassified to the other income. That's why it represents a charge in the quarter, but it's not actually a real charge during the quarter. And the last being the reassessment of the warranty cost of about 10 crore. So if I sum up all these five items that I explained, that reserve true up, the termination of or penalty for a lease breakage, bad debt, forex, and warranty costs, all these sum up at around 650 million of one-time or specific charges during the quarter. As we have been communicating in the earlier quarter calls, the annual number of 390 crore is a more representative number. We have been communicating about 100 crore per quarter being the other expense, and that's the number where we see to be the expense per quarter going forward. Something around that 400 crore annually.
Sorry, I didn't get that number. You're saying 40 crores per quarter?
So 400 crore per quarter, 400 crore on an annual basis. So if you look at the full financial year, the other expenses 390 crore. That is a more representative number than just the number of quarter four, which was impacted by the 65 crore of one time reserve for exceptional charges.
Right. But you know, the earlier question which was asked to you, so I have a similar question. Basically, what you've told us is that up to March end, and you've been telling us every quarter, whatever hit is there, according to you, you would have taken it in the P&L. But is the P&L cleanup finally done for GET&D? Like, you've done a good job on balance sheet. Are all the legacy costs where you see there would have been some trouble in terms of bidding, higher commodity costs, provisioning, warranty provisioning, all those issues, have they been taken out through P&L?
The accounting policies and guidance require it to be trued up basis the available information.
I'm not asking you about the accounting policy. That is understood. I'm saying, you have a view of your order book. There would be some legacy orders there, which is clearly evident from the regular P&L, you know, cost that you are taking. Is everything done in terms of that cleanup?
Yes, I was actually trying to answer the same thing. If you look at the commodity price graph, every quarter there has been an increase. The commodities have gone up even in the last quarter, starting January to March, and even up to further up to May. Reason being, the Russia-Ukraine war led to a significant increase in some of the processed commodities. So you've not seeing in some of the commodities as a base metal price increase, but when it comes to the process commodities and the specific commodities being used by the company, there it has been a specific increase. And also there was a significant increase in the oil prices. Having said that, every business at any point of time has risk and opportunities. And given the assessment of the risk, all the known risks which could impact as per the accounting policy have been provided up to the March 31st.
Meg, you see, you take the example of CRGO, of which is used in transformer, the price doesn't come out in the commodity prices like copper and aluminum. But the way the CRGO price has increased last year and this year for calendar year first quarter is abnormally high. So what Sushil is telling, as on 31st March, complete order backlog is corrected.
So that we get, that will get captured in gross profit margins and the line above that. What happens in other expenses every quarter needs some explanation in terms of what is happening with your legacy order book.
Sujit, I tried to explain the charges in the one-off items in the other expense to the extent of 65 crore. And as I said, that full year number of 390 crore is more representative, because every quarter when the other expense which have been moving, let's say positively or negative during the quarter, we always communicated that 100 crore per quarter or 400 crore annually is a more representative number from the ad, from the projection or annual P&L point of view. So I'll say that let's, for the timing, not consider this as a run rate, but consider 400 crore as a run rate for GT&D.
Right. And what is the potential size that can come if one were to be successful in the Mumbai HVDC project? And similar is the question even for Leh Ladakh.
Mumbai HVDC project, it is under evaluation, so we cannot talk about it actually, because we have bid it, the results are not out yet.
And potential opportunity in Leh Ladakh?
Leh Ladakh will be a large bid. It will be basically lines plus HVDC terminal and all. So I think HVDC terminal may be in the range of 1 billion to 1.3 billion or so, complete project actually. So including the part of the line, but basically HVDC terminal will be in that range actually.
Just a small add-on, as GET&D, we do not have the entire technology. So generally for these projects, we partner with our counterpart in UK or other entities across the globe. So the 1.3 billion opportunity that Pitamber talked about will be shared between our entity and the global entity, because we'll have to bid jointly.
Sure. And going back,
that is one thing, and just one thing here, Sujit, is 1.3 billion is dollars actually.
Yeah, yeah. And going back to our project SL, which was stuck, what is the status on that in terms of receivables and the monies that were stuck, and in terms of completion and further liability on us?
SL project, we collected the entire outstanding amount in the month of June last year, if I'm not mistaken. So the outstanding money was fully collected. The project was moved to a new owner or promoter, Adani. So far, whatever shipments we have made, we have been collecting on time. So there has been no challenge of collection from the new promoter. Nonetheless, because the contract was on firm price, so the commodity price impact we had to take on this project. I don't have the percentage completion of this project as of now.
Right. And the exports where we've done well, 32% of the order inflow, which are these markets, and within the GE construct as a group, which are the markets that we can cater to? So would they be just MENA and Africa, etc., and South Asia, or you could even target developed nations?
So, Sujit, we actually have number of markets which are allocated to us. So, for example, the material is even going to Australia. It is also going to Japan. Complete Southeast Asia market, many of the products, for example, the instrument transformers and circuit breakers, the sole supply chain is from the Indian factories. And then we also have the African market, and apart from the African market, we are also supplying to Latin America also. So there are a lot of markets which are allocated to us. In fact, for one or two products, we are also looking at supplying to Europe, because we have got the factories qualified in Europe as well. So this is primarily the markets which are allocated to us. MENAT is a typical market, Middle East one, where they prefer the supplies to come from mostly Europe. So MENAT, our presence from India is quite limited. But Africa, total we supplied from here, Southeast Asia, Japan, Australia, and Latin America.
Right. And one last question. A few calls back, I think we'd mentioned that we have a product that we market for IIoT in competition with, let's say, Siemens Mindsphere and ABB Ability. This is not GE Predix, but some other product. So what is the status there? Can we offer IoT solutions to our clients?
No, so basically in the digital space, wherever we are present on the transmission side, on the distribution side, we are not offering Predix, but then we have a different product which is available with us. So we are offering that to the clients who are there in the transmission and distribution. Of course, with that product, we are not present in the industry domain and all. For example, if you're going to steel industry and all, there we are not present. Where the product is more aligned towards the transmission and the distribution side. So in a steel industry, if it's, for example, a substation which is there, then our product is there. But otherwise, otherwise for the industry, etc., then the solution comes as Predix only.
And who is the owner of the IP of this product that we market?
Yeah, G only.
Okay, and what is this product called?
Just slipped out of my mind. I'll just let you know.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Kunal Sheth from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the...
Mr. Kunal, request you to go off the speakerphone. We can barely hear you on call.
Is it audible now?
Yes, we can hear you now. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to check on this 37 billion of order book that we have. What is the execution period for that order book? I mean, how much of that is executable next year?
So this order book is a combination of turnkey project business plus the orders flow business. It's very difficult to give one particular time range of this order book, but generally as a trend, 70 to 75% of the order backlog gets executed in the next year. That has been the historical trend.
Sure. And sir, secondly, we talked about the green corridor orders in the domestic market. So, what is the status of those orders? And I mean, how soon do you think they will get postponed to the second half, or we expect them to start pouring in the first half itself?
Our assessment is that it is going to go to second half, or maybe by the end of first half. Like, for example, certain things would start coming in by August, September. But then when the developers will win, they also take practically a month, 2 months to decide the order. So for the EPC or for the manufacturers, OEMs, the decision making will go to second half only.
Sure, sure, sir. Thank you so much. Those were my questions. Best of luck for the future quarter, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Bhavin Vithlani from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again. The question is again on the exports. So we have seen 700 odd crores kind of a run rate on orders.
Could we see an increase in the run rate on the export, because many of the other capital goods peers have been seeing a very strong growth on the exports, and especially a couple of quarters ago we highlighted about a few products are where GE T&D could become a sole source base for the global supplies.
Yes, sir. I'm sure that we are going to increase exports in time to come, because for some of the products, our factories are becoming sole suppliers actually. We are exporting a lot of high voltage products from India in various countries, like Sandeep mentioned, even Australia, Japan, Latin America and South Asian countries. So we are definitely going to increase more and more export.
While not talking about a percentage on the sales or the orders, could we see that the exports could double on a three-year basis from the current levels of orders that we have seen?
Yeah, we can say that within in 3 years basis it can double exports. But it is very difficult to predict as on date exactly how it will move.
Fair. And in general, is the profitability in exports better than what we see in the domestic market?
Yes.
Okay, great. On the competitive intensity in the domestic market, how are you seeing the competitive intensity in the domestic market? And there was one comment made that incrementally there is a traction towards the gas insulated substation in the green energy corridor, wherein three or four players inclusive of GE T&D do have the technology. So if you could just comment on the competitive intensity and the underlying mix change, so HVDC projects, GIS project, does it hold GE T&D in good stead in maybe if one looks at a 2 to 3 year perspective?
Yeah, I think GE T&D is definitely in a good stand, because we have a GIS portfolio in our product range. We have exclusive factory at Chennai, Padappai. So that way we see in a good shape actually.
Sure. Last part, we've seen some improvement on the working capital side also, and we've seen the release in the cash, and while the headline profits were negative, but we saw positive cash flow from operations. Could we believe that there is more juice left on the working capital, which is currently around 18%, or can we expect some increase in the working capital as a percentage of sales as we see going forward?
Yeah, so I remember 2.5 years ago, we talked about becoming debt-free or moving in that direction. And at that point of time, our debt was more than 500 crore, which we have successfully been able to bring to 80 crore level end of March, the net debt. As a direction, yes, our endeavor is to further improve and become debt-free and remain in the positive trajectory. However, being in the capital good business, quarter on quarter, there may be some change, meaning maybe a couple of quarters will be negative, significant negative or negative cash, but other quarters will have the improvement. As a direction, on a long-term basis, our endeavor is to further improve the working capital and become debt-free.
Sure. Just last question from my end to Pitambar. So are you feeling more optimistic now versus a year ago, now that the cleanup is done and the ship is being steadied and you can actually see GE on a growth path, maybe on the orders and on the revenues in with some lag, where we can now see GE T&D actually crossing the level of 4,500-5,000 crores top line in 2 to 3 years time frame?
Yeah, I'm quite optimistic because of the market and future opportunities to come.
I'll just make an add-on here. I think with the green energy corridor and all, the order booking we are hopeful to increase, and with corresponding impact on the execution,
However, those levels of 4,000-4,500 crore revenue comes with the HVDC opportunity only. It will not be from the regular conventional business. But as Sandeep talked about few HVDC opportunities in the pipeline, so hopefully if we get some of them, then definitely yes, we will move to a higher revenue levels.
Sure. Yeah. Those were my questions. Thank you so much for taking my questions.
And just a small correction from my side to the question asked by Mr. Sujit Jain Mr. Kunal in the earlier question. The backlog execution in a year in is in the range of 60-65% versus 70-75% that I talked earlier. When I talked 70-75%, it was more about 70-75% of the revenue for the year coming from the backlog. However, if you have to lay a corresponding number in terms of the backlog, then it is 60-65% of the backlog getting executed during the year. So that was just a small correction from my side.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question from the line of Ashna Manastala from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good evening, sir. So continuing on the previous participant's question on the competitive intensity, if you could talk about who are our competitors in the GIS substation, what is the current market size and our market share in that segment?
Hey, reply this question.
Yeah, Ashna, so there are two types of competition which is there. One on the EPC side and second is on the product side. So on the EPC side, you have multiple competition. Like, for example, you have 15-20 players that are making more than that. So then you would have some people present on 132 kV segment, some present on 220 kV, some present on 400 kV. But if I really look at GIS as a product, then our main competition actually comes from Siemens, Hisun, Toshiba, and Hitachi. And for a very small segment, Crompton's.
Okay. So, and sir, in terms of product, what would be the market size currently and what is the expected growth rate given the amount of order info that we're expecting to come around in a year or so should come in?
So purely as market for the GIS product, we are looking at a year of close to about $300 million is the market size what we are looking forward to. And of course, market share would be in the range of something like 25 plus, this is something which is our endeavor to target.
Okay. And then coming to the EPC proportion of your orders, how much of that would be fixed price contract?
So if you really look today in the market, EPC ordering which is happening across the customers, maybe few RTM packages if you exclude from Power Grid, or maybe a few packages if you exclude which is coming from state, which would be less than 15% of the total project volume being tendered out. Balance 85% is on fixed price, so whether it is TBCB, whether it is private player. So mostly the price variation today which the customers are offering is mostly on the transformers and the reactors.
Okay. And sir, are we able to renegotiate some of these fixed price contracts?
We're trying. We are making the effort. But still the results are not very encouraging today.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was the last question. I now hand it over to Mr. Sunil Mishra for closing comments.
Thank you, Mikey, again. And thank you, everyone, for your participation. With this, we conclude today's conference call. In case if you have any other questions, then please feel free to contact me or Mr. Anshul Madan on the email ID. Thanks again.
Thank you. On behalf of GE T&D India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.